Welcome to Who Said You Have To, where we discuss how society dictates to us who we must be and how we must live our lives.
In this podcast, we will also help you find ways to choose the life you want to live with no fear or judgment.
My name is Laura Schmidt. Tina and I know the things discussed today are not what society has taught us to believe, but I choose to believe in my own ability to see what is truth and what is not truth.
My name is Tina Mason, and Laura and I challenge you to join us in believing in your own ability to find your truth, not what society has dictated you must believe to be accepted or loved.
The truth is, you are loved exactly as you are, right here, right now. No human is more vital than another. You matter.
And you have the free will to walk your own path with no fear and no judgment. We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're all doing well. I guess it would actually be good afternoon. Today, I am going to be doing an interview with the amazing and inspirational and gifted FabU speaker, Joe McCarthy. It goes, hello, Mojo. How are you today?
I'm absolutely fantastic. How are you?
I am doing so completely amazing. I can't even, the blessings that are pouring out of my life are just, there are no words.
Fabulous, there man. That's a great place to be, huh?
It really is. It really is a great place to be. And I do plan on sharing all of it with you at some point. But today is not about me. It is about you. And Laura, unfortunately, could not join us today. She has a little stomach bug going on with her. So she's going to be staying home because I don't want it. But we hope to, she wanted me to tell you that she was going to miss it, that she loves you, and also that your FabU video was, you set the bar, man. You set the bar. Let me just tell you. It was amazing.
Right. Cool. I'll take that as a compliment, and yes, that's fun. It was great to do because I got to, take some skill to hone a whole lifetime's worth of information into 30 seconds, which is a challenge that I took on. And then got to use some of my experience in video editing and added some fun captions and graphics and background music and that kind of stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what the thing about it that, and you'll be able to, everybody, the video we're talking about will be going up on all of our social medias this next week. But the thing about it, honestly, Joe, was just your ability to allow me to feel what you were feeling. Mm. Like, it was so... just like from the heart, and just, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And those are the videos that I love. Those are the things that I oftentimes, I watch a lot of like the funny animal videos because it's nothing but truth. Like, they do not hide how they feel, and you know exactly what they're thinking.
That's right. No faking. That's good. You know, you really tapped into something right there anyway, that all of the glitz and glamour and production value really falls flat if there's not a connection between the video and the watcher. So the fact that you felt that right through all of the electronics that are going on, I always find that miraculous anyway, that somehow through the technology, we can actually connect on heart and spirit level. I can't say I can explain it, but I certainly can experience it. And I'm very grateful for it.
Right. Well, I think it comes from just a space of purity of heart. You know, when you are in that space of purity of heart and just love for humanity and life, people can hear you. And which is one of the reasons that we wanted you to, you know, be a part of FabU. But let's talk about you. Tell us about you, Joe. Tell us how where you're at right now in your space, like kind of what's going on in your world, and then we'll go into like maybe how like your spiritual journey of how you became, I'm assuming you weren't born this magnetic, amazing speaker. And it takes time and effort. Magnetic and amazing, I got that one probably from birth for you, but the ability to speak in a manner that you could be heard kind of takes a little more time. But tell us about you.
Yeah, so, well, just to bring right into the current space, the last few weeks, as you're aware, has been rather challenging in terms of just time, energy, and attention. My 84-year-old mother-in-law, who's generally in good health, but fell and broke her hip, and all of the medical attention and complications and scheduling and all of the logistics around that have been rather challenging, mostly in the sense that I had a pretty good routine going with my own life and the girls that I raise and the jobs that I do, and then being on Wisdom and all the different things I do. I kind of had some rhythm and space built into my life, so it didn't feel like I was overloaded, but I was fully engaged. And then life, as it tends to do, throws a big old monkey wrench right in the middle there, and suddenly all of the routines go out the window and you pay attention to what's urgent. And so it's been interesting, interesting few weeks to make those adjustments and find new rhythm and new routines and balance for all these things. I can't say I'm even there yet, but at first it was a little, as all changes, a little disconcerting. And it felt just like didn't fit. It was incongruent. I still trying to figure my way through this new adventure. But I did notice, and this is really important to me, I did notice that rather than being disgruntled or upset or, you know, why me type of thing, which I have done in the past and certain times of my life, I was really aware that, hey, this is an opportunity to test all the things that you say you believe in, and all the one you say you believe in, to say, hey, is this, even though it doesn't feel good, it's not comfortable, is this an opportunity really to express the fullness of who I have become in being supportive to my wife and my mother-in-law, showing up not because it's fun or it's comfortable, but because it's the right thing to do, and then finding great purpose and meaning behind that, even if other things have to be put on the shelf for a little while.
Right. Right. And how do you feel, what do you feel like you've learned through that? Because every experience like that is growth, right? Without adversity, there is no growth. What do you feel like you've kind of learned through this?
Yeah, I think one, it's been a nice reflection of how far I've come to who I have become. And I love that the word become, which is part of our FABU acronym, because I see this really wonderful combination, this both and equation of who I am and who I am becoming, because every moment is a new process, a new opportunity to learn or grow or not, right? Or to be stuck or to be upset. And all of those things are part of the human experience. But by being observant, both of my own emotional responses, my energy level, it's really been a learning experience, as you said, to see, okay, where do you make choices when you have to make sacrifices? What are your priorities? And how do you embrace the challenge as an opportunity to kind of flex your spiritual muscles, your grit, your courage, really dig in, lean into the challenge rather than cower from it or deny it or run away or wish it wasn't there.
Right.
So it's been a great exposure, a great reflection of who I am and who I'm becoming and where I've still got some work to do for that matter.
Ooh, well, I'm so glad that you do, because, you know, God told me one time, he said, if you ever believe that you know everything about anything, you might as well just dig a hole, because you're just existing. You're not living. And I would really like for you to keep living, because you bring so much joy and so much happiness and peace and love and grace to not just the wisdom community, but to all those around you. And I personally feel very blessed to have you in my life, you know. So you were talking about, you know, your spiritual journey and you know, your what you were just speaking. How did your spiritual journey begin? Like, is it just something you've always had? Is it like, what, where did it kind of start for you?
Yeah. So, you know, it's my early memories are that, my adoptive family, I was adopted at 3 weeks old. They attended the Catholic Church at the time, but mostly out of routine and tradition, not so much out of relationship or connection. So more of an obligation thing, but I do remember my adoptive mom often saying that I, from as early as she can remember, had a sensitivity and an openness to spiritual things. I was curious. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, kind of more than other kids that she observed, and even my siblings. Just I was very receptive to that type of thing, and she made the assumption that my biological mother, who we didn't know and hadn't met, didn't know much about, must be, you know, a lady of faith and praying for my well-being and my journey. We just made that assumption all along, kind of a hunch, right? An intuition thing.
Yeah.
And of course, that did turn out to be true, but I didn't find out till 50 years later. But it was interesting because, you know, even in the Catholic Church, which was very routine, and had its, you know, all its liturgy and all that kind of stuff, I found it interesting even as a kid. And of course, there was the hilarious times too when, you know, we get tired as a first grader or second grader praying the rosary because the same prayer over and over again, and we'd start to bend the words and create funnier versions of the prayers, which, you know, we're always looking over our shoulder wondering if a priest or a nun would overhear us, or if God was laughing or was getting the lightning bolts ready. We're never quite sure.
Right.
But I really was fascinated with the whole experience. I did sense there was something going on there beyond just the ritual and the routine and the ceremony. And so I volunteered in fifth grade to be an altar boy and got trained for that, wore the garb and, you know, did all the bells and the whistles and the kneeling and all that kind of stuff. I had the whole thing memorized, and I kind of took great pride in that. Even though I didn't fully understand it, I knew there was something really, really important going on there. And I had my very childlike prayers. You know, I'd go into my room, get on my knees like little boys do, and as my mom taught me, and thank God for my family and the food and all the other animals and plants and trees that I could think of, in a very just simple faith. But to me, it was always something real. It didn't feel just like something like we had to do, an obligation. And I think I can't take any credit for that, right? I don't know where that came from. Maybe it was my biological mother, or who knows, but I'm grateful, very grateful that I did have that openness and sensitivity. And then it turned out to be such an important thing because when I was about seven, my adoptive parents split up, and they ended up getting divorced. There's lots of tension at home. And so my mom, then now a single mom of three kids and working full time, really felt a need, a desire to connect with her spirit and to connect with God on a very, very personal basis, just out of sheer need. And so just in the Catholic school, because it was really the best education in town, but we started attending at different churches, different Protestant and Pentecostal churches. And I really got this broad spectrum of experience that was very fortuitous as I look back. I'm very grateful that I had, you know, the Catholic experience, a very Pentecostal experience. And then when my mom got remarried, the guy she married is a conservative Baptist, and he was like, no more Catholic school, no more, you know, Pentecostal church. Now we're going to a very, very, very conservative Baptist church and to the public schools.
And as I, you know, I didn't really think about it at the time, because you just go with the flow when you're a kid, you figure that's just life. But as I look back, I see this really broad spectrum of exposure where, regardless of the name on the church or the tradition that it came from, or the history, or even the ritual, I was experiencing God in a very personal way in all of those settings. And again, I wasn't evaluating this at the time, but looking back, I think what a wonderful blessing that was, that due to input on my own. I was just going with the flow and doing what I was told. But I got this really broad exposure where I did experience God in a very personal way. And at times absolutely needed that many times, as my family was imploding. And so I now I look back, I realize that I was able to unpin and unhinge my experience with God from the name on the church or the denomination or the tradition, because God was God with me no matter where we were attending church as a family. And I really had no idea how important that would be to me. But as I look back, I'm so grateful for that. But I think where it really got profound for me was as my family life was unraveling, I would really dig into this relationship that was budding inside of me, where I was really feeling and sensing and knowing that God was right there in the room with me. So I'd often close the door to the chaos of my life just as a grade schooler. And, you know, I would pray out of great earnestness, because I was just, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know why. I didn't know why my family was coming apart. And so I would often, you know, just have these very raw, open, authentic sessions with God, you know, praying for my family and praying for understanding and praying for healing from my own heart. And as I look back too, I think one of the wonderful experiences for me, Tina, was that, you know, a lot of times when I'd ask God the questions, the why questions, like, why is this happening? And, you know, why can't it be different? And all those type of things. The really only clear response I ever heard, felt from way down deep was the sense that I'm here. That God just, he wasn't giving me answers. He wasn't explaining anything. He wasn't changing anything. But he's letting me know that no matter what I'm going through, he's here. He's with me, right? And although it didn't seem all that satisfying in the moment, it turned out to be, that's exactly what I needed to know. That really
is. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Is that he's here.
Yeah, I 100%. Yeah. And because, you know, a lot of times when, you know, when you are growing up and you are maybe more in tune to different things than other people, it is sometimes hard for you to express that to a human being, you know, to another human being, of what it is you're feeling. And because I do suspect that you are probably pretty empathic, you weren't just experiencing the breaking apart of your family. You were experiencing everyone's emotions on it, not just your own, which absolutely had to have been very, very confusing for you, because it's like feeling emotions that you didn't understand because they weren't your own, you know? And I find it very interesting what you were talking about with going to multiple churches growing up. And, you know, I have found that people who have had that experience where they, you know, maybe in their adulthood, they kind of found one church that they were attracted to or felt compelled to go to. Or even if it was, they took all of those pieces from all of those churches and kind of made their own spirituality, you know, not connected to a specific religion. But I find that people who have the ability to have that very deep connection with God, with the divine, tend to have been to multiple churches in their lifetime. And I think it is one of the words that I've heard you use a lot is discernment. And I think it teaches us discernment.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting, you know, to look back and see things I didn't see back then. But this, the probably the most valuable thing I look at now is that my connection with the divine, my relationship with God, was very personal, and very detached from a building, from a religion per se. I certainly identified myself as a Christian. That's the way I was raised, and I studied the Bible a lot and hear that come up in my conversations. But it was, I'm so grateful that it was less about the tradition and the denomination and all of the labels. And it was so much more vibrant than that, so much more personal than that. It was just seriously this running dialogue, this conversation that was going on inside of me during most of my waking hours, you know, whether I was playing baseball or in the band or whatever I was doing. I just kind of had this very simple, childlike friendship with God, almost like an invisible friend, right? That was always with me. And I never sensed I was alone or that I was abandoned or that I was judged, just that I was, I had a friend. I had the best friend ever, right?
Yeah, you know what I called him when I was little? I referred to him as my very best friend. Yeah. He was my only friend as a small child, but I mean, what better friend could you have?
Seriously. Yeah.
You know. So, Mojo, when you were let's go to little boy Mojo.
Yeah.
Say 10-ish. Okay? Sure. That age group. Who did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, so funny. So, when I was little and someone would ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? Which that was kind of a common question among the adults in my life. I would just start spouting off everything I could think of that I thought was cool. So I wanted to be an astronaut and a jet fighter pilot and a quarterback of an NFL team and president of the United States. And I mean, and go-kart racer and on, you know, and we just, everything that I thought was cool and fun, I would just name these things off. And inevitably the adults would laugh, of course. And then they would say, yeah, but which one are you going to be when you grow up? And I would always stop like, what do you mean? Which one? You mean I have to choose? No, that's
wait, no, all weird. Of them.
Right. All of the above. Right. Long before I had the vocabulary and to talk about either or versus both. And I was already embracing all of it. Like, I just want to do everything. And had this, you know, this openness and curiosity and wonder that why not? Why can't we do everything? Why can't we experience all the joys that life have to bring?
Well, it is funny that you say that because, you know, 4.5 years ago when I started this journey and God said, hey, I need you to do this. And I said, but I wanted to be a comedian. And he said, I'm God. What makes you think you can't be both?
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah. All right, let's do it.
Yes. I love it.
So Mojo today, who you are right here, right now, who do you want to be when you grow up? Besides me, of course.
Yeah, of course, right. Well, my, you know, as my understanding of how exquisitely individual we are, that each one of us is handcrafted, you know, by the creator. And I hear some of these great verses that I memorized when I was a kid about being knit together in my mother's womb long before, or the God saw me long before I was ever created and has, you know, a plan specific for me. I'm embracing more and more the older I get how very personal, very individually personalized God can be for each of us. I'm just amazed that there's no two humans in the history of creation that had the same thumbprint, that have the same eye signature, that have the same voice, that have all the things that make us individual, which also includes our experience and our perceptions, our education, all the things that we go through. There's no creature ever that sees the world or experiences the world, or God for that matter, the way I do. It's specific. And no creature that ever will. And so what I really perceived as much as I am now more and more is that this infinite being, the creator of all, the source of everything, is transcendent, of course, and way beyond my finite ability to understand. And yet, on that same hand, very, very personally involved and intimate and speaks to me in the Joseph Wayne McCarthy language that I need to hear, because he can do that. He can speak 7.5 billion languages all at the same time,
yeah,
right? Because there's no limits. And so I'm just really so amazed, awestruck, and grateful that I'm created to be me. And that's that process, right? That's that same thing we talked about earlier, that I am who I am now, and I'm also in process. I'm ever changing, as is everything around me. And so I think, to answer your question, to get back to your question, who I want to be is I want to continue to become the fullest expression, the highest, fullest expression of how I was created. So, you know, there used to be a time when I was younger, I wanted to be the next John Elway, or I wanted to be Oprah Winfrey at one point. You know, there's a lot of these, I wanted to be Mother Teresa, so many different people that inspired me. And now I am way more aware that each of those people were created exactly the way they were, for a purpose, for a reason, by design, as am I. And so now my focus is, all right, how can I continue this process of becoming the highest, most amazing expression of who I am with whatever time I've got left on this planet?
Right. I feel like for like myself, you know, I always joke around, like, you know, I want to be my youngest daughter when I grow up, because I am so enamored of her strength. Like, she is just the most strong human I've ever met in my life. I want to be this person when I, you know, but to be honest with you, when I grow up, I just want to be a better version of me.
Right. Yes.
I'm not perfect by any means, but I am proud of me. I'm proud of who I have become. And I want to each day be an even better version of that. And I think that when we see things like, you know, an astronaut, did you really want to be an astronaut, or did you want to have the courage of an astronaut? You know, did you really want to be president, or did you want to be a leader? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think that when we look at those things and we look at But anyways, I feel like when we, you know, all of these people we wanted to be when we grew up, it was traits we didn't really want to emulate their life, but there were traits in them that made us want to have those traits too. And I feel it's the same thing with God, you know. There are traits that I would like to have that he has, you know, and that is a daily process of, I was having a conversation the other day with someone, and I said, you know, what we battle on earth, what we have to conquer on earth is ourselves. It is ourselves of realizing that it is not the external. It is not what society says we must be, we can be, that we have to be loved and accepted. It is the battle of shutting that out and conquering our own fears. Mm-hmm. And remembering, I was designed and created by a God. I was born with everything I needed to be, whatever it is I want to be.
Yeah. That's such a great reminder. Yeah.
So
even as you say, astronaut, just real quick, you said astronaut, and I, many years ago, gosh, probably 35 years ago or something, I met Buzz Aldrin. He was given this speech in a public arena and talking about being an astronaut. And then, you know, that's one of the things, you know, I'd aspired to when I was a little kid. So I was fascinated and riveted by the whole thing. And then I could, for whatever reason, I just had this sensation that everything in his life since walking on the moon has been somewhat of a letdown, right? What do you do after you walked on the moon? Where do you go then? Yeah, what do you experience that in any way rivals that very unique, incredible opportunity to experience? And I think that was like the spirit inside of me just saying a lot of what you're saying, that it's not just being an astronaut, Joe, or a jet fighter pilot, or, you know, whatever those things are, but it's that experience of what all of life has to offer, and what I've had to learn probably the hard way, like most people, is that what life has to offer isn't always bliss. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes it's suffering. Sometimes it's things that I would never want or quote unquote manifest for myself. But it turns out those two become really important experiences in my journey that shape and build and form and bring out things in me that I wouldn't experience, I wouldn't see, I wouldn't realize perhaps any other way. And it's in that ever-expanding understanding of how that even pain and suffering is for my benefit. I mean, that changes my perception of life and my understanding of God in very profound and really, really helpful ways.
Right. So, Joe, what do you do when you're not on Wisdom? Like, what do you do to, I know that you are a stay-at-home dad, but you also work a job, you know what I mean? But tell us about, like, what do you do with your days when you're not on Wisdom and taking care of your girls and supporting your wife?
Yeah, well, I actually am not a stay-at-home dad. I have a 40-hour week job. I am a graphic designer. I'm a director of marketing and publications and communications at a small private Christian university not far from where I live. And so my job is to manage all of the branding aspects of the university, including logo design and aesthetic creation and signage, and then public press releases and website, social media. I do some photography and videography, although those are not my I'm not an expert in those. I can just pull it off as needed. And so it's a very creative job, which I really like. It taps into a lot of the juices that flow through me. And so I get to create visuals. I get to use words to create stories that are telling, you know, the world about this small private university that has often been called the best kept secret in our area. And so it's my job to make sure that it's no longer a secret. That's my full-time job.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought that you did that from home. So
no.
I apologize.
No,
so Joe, I know that you are on a schedule. You're kind enough to do this during your lunch break. So tell me, how did you come to be involved with FabU?
Well, that was all due to you, actually. But I think as I look back, you know, obviously.
I think that you're giving me way too much credit. I'm gonna throw that one to God.
Yeah, actually, I was about to say it was to use a very loaded word. It was ordained, I would say. It was meant to be. So I was doing these walks on Wednesday mornings early. I'd get out on the golf course or just go for a walk and have kind of a Q&A with my friend John Wyrow, who's out in Michigan. And he would ask, he's much younger than I, so he'd ask a lot of the questions that he's been wrestling with about, you know, spirituality and who God is and the nature of the universe and existence. Really thoughtful questions. And I just said, okay, no holds barred. Whatever you've been thinking about, whatever you're questioning, let's just have this discussion and bring it up. And I said, I'm not going to have the answer for everything, but I can just let people hear my journey and what I've learned along the way. And so we've had some of these just really rich and wonderful discussions that have, through those questions, have brought out from within me and caused me to articulate things that I've learned, things that I believe, my perceptions as they have changed. And you were listening in on one of those conversations and then jumped in after John jumped out. And we had a conversation right after that, which is one of the first times you and I had spoken. And then that really snowballed pretty quickly into follow-up discussions on Wisdom and then offline. And before long,
you had decided that, or God perhaps tapped you on the shoulder and said, let's invite this one to Fab U. So when you announced, I didn't know what Fab U was. I certainly wasn't searching for it. But when that invitation came, I was like, are you kidding me? Yes, yes, a zillion times yes. And in fact, in many ways, Fab U is a fulfillment of one of my heart's desires to be able to impact and influence lives by sharing through my words and through my energy and my empathy and compassion, to be able to share that in a public and online way that can expand the reach of my voice. I was like, that's something I've dreamed about for a long time. And I've had plenty of chances to do public speaking, but primarily in a church, in a pastoral role. And that's been awesome for me as well. But this takes it to a whole another level. And so I've just been overwhelmed with joy at this opportunity.
So what is your hope for Fab U? Like, I know that you're kind of like me where you don't have, you don't attach a picture to the outcome. But if Joe McCarthy could have a picture of his impact on Fab U and what Fab U does for the world, what would it be?
That's a huge question, of course. But
of course, you know me. Go big or go home.
Go big. As I like to say in the big picture, go big and then go home. And that's, home to wherever I end up.
There you go.
So I'm going to go big now. And this is part of my big journey. It's to be a part of this Fab U event, which, it's so wonderful on many levels for me because I get to be in on the ground floor. This is the inaugural event. It's a fulfillment of your dream and Laura's dream and what God's birthed in you. And it's the sense of being a part of something way beyond what any individual would have come up with, and to feel that momentum, right? That swell of excitement and energy. And as we're moving towards this crescendo at that event. But I think my prayer, my hope, my dream is that as an integral part of the Fab U experience, that anybody and everybody, including me, that attends the event in person, that helped put it on, that sponsored it, that tunes in online live or catches it afterwards, that they too will have a profoundly transcendent and yet intimate experience with their creator that affirms in them in ways that they just cannot explain any other way other than he loves me, he's real, he's with me, he's for me. All the things that have carried me through the highs, the lows, and all of the mundane moments in between, that gives me a sense of purpose and meaning and connection with something way greater than my finite being. If there's any way that I can be a conduit to transmute, translate, to express that, what I call the four key elements to any day, I think are enthusiasm, inspiration, gratitude, and grace. And so if those four elements flow through me as a conduit and into the lives and the ears and the hearts, especially of those who make this connection, and it is translated into their language, their very highly personal language, and they get this undeniable experience that's way beyond just understanding in their head, but it's a connection way down in their soul, in their spirit, that how much God loves them and wants to be a part, intimate part of their life and guide them through the highs, the lows, the rough seas and the calm. If there's a way, and I believe there is, if I'm used in that fashion and that has its ripple effect from the people that hear it directly to the people that they interact with, et cetera, then I will have nothing but gratitude and a sense of, yes, that's exactly what I am designed for. And I got to fulfill my purpose, my design, by being that conduit.
Right. And, you know, FABU stands for forgive, allow, become you. And it is the path of finding your self-love. And when we find our self-love, we raise our vibration. And just by raising our own vibration, we allow other people around us to make the choice to raise their vibration or not, with no judgment. And, you know, we've talked about before that, you know, people say, will ask, you know, so is Tina Mason putting this on? Is Free Will Healing putting this on? Is Ryan Allen putting this on? And it, no. Where, as a matter of fact, God just recently told me, I was having a little convo with him about, you know, we have a lot of expenses to start out with, like before tickets even get sold. You know, there's the venue, the live streaming, the, like, you know, all of that. Because what a lot of people don't realize is the ticket sales, you don't actually get that until, like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after the event is over. And right. I don't know about you, sir, but I'm not independently wealthy. And so,
no, I'm not.
Yeah. So, you know, my idea was, I was very commercialized in my head. I'm a, you know, businesswoman. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, well, what we do is we sell, you know, sponsorship packages and blah, 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 blah. And God told me, he said, how arrogant of you to assume that this is you. You're just speaking and doing the legwork. He said, why on earth would I want to start out an event about love with corporations who are just getting a tax break?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All righty. Boom. Yep. And it was actually Miss Lois that gave me the idea of doing a GoFundMe. And I was like, that's what God was talking about. And then, you know, there's that whole kind of stigma attached to GoFundMe of asking for charity, right? Mm-hmm. And I had to kind of get past that a little bit of, because sure. God was like, what, again, how arrogant of you. This isn't yours. You're just speaking. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey. He's like, you've never had a problem asking for money for other people in your life. Why is this an issue now? And I was like, yeah, exactly. Because I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for every single human being who will be affected, who will find self-love. I'm asking for every human being to help us raise the vibration of mankind. And I know it's possible. I know we can do it. We do it all the time, but in tragedy. You know, after 9/11, everybody was just a little nicer to each other. After we went to war with Iraq, everybody was just a little nicer to each other. You know, why can't we do that without tragedy? Why do we have to have tragedy first? Why can't we just do that? Because it is who we are. Yeah. It is what we desire. And people say all the time, what can one person do? Well, I tell you what, one person can do a lot. Because one Absolutely. Person who's not afraid to open up their mouth and speak will raise the vibration of an entire room. And then let's say that room is 1,000 people. And they go home and they go into a room of 1,000 people and they raise the vibration, and we keep raising the vibration. We can change the world.
100%.
One at a time.
Absolutely. Yep.
And if anybody is interested in the GoFundMe, sorry, Joe, I'll just throw this out there. You can go to my profile here on Wisdom, and the GoFundMe link is right there. Or you can go to GoFundMe and just type in FabU, and it will actually pull it up for you. So we're extremely excited about this. And we know that funding, it comes from people choosing to give with love. We're starting that love line with that. The love of mankind.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, as you were saying, the stigma of giving to charity. And boy, the word charity jumped right out at you there, because charity in that context, you know, has a the connection with nonprofits and people who need money, etc. But charity, the word itself, is just love, right? So giving to charity, the stigma goes away when you just change the word to love. You're giving to love, and not necessarily giving something to the entity of love, but you're giving to, like, so as, giving so as to love. The giving is the loving in that actual gift, the giving. And as I have experienced, and I'm sure you could probably agree to this on your own level, that giving becomes receiving, right? When you give out of,
how did I start out this conversation? How did I start out this conversation? You said, hey, how Angel, are you doing? And I said, the blessings pouring in are beyond words.
Yes.
And that started with me giving.
Yeah. One of the profound things that I've learned just even in this wisdom experience, which I started listening in late February and hosting in March, is this subtle yet really important shift in my mentality from giving to get to getting to give. And what I mean by that is, I've been taught my whole life about this, the law of sowing and reaping. You know, whatsoever a person gives, that he shall reap. And that actually is true. You see that all over the planet throughout history. But I'm being challenged and becoming aware that there's actually a higher place, a more fulfilling place that I can come from. Rather than giving to get, I get to give. I've received so much grace, so much forgiveness, so much insight and wisdom and love and all of the great stuff of life. I've been the recipient of. I got to travel to 30 countries and all 50 states as a gospel musician. I got to be in Mother Teresa's presence in Calcutta and play for the Pope.
Oh, beautiful.
In St. Paul's Cathedral at the Vatican. I've had innumerable experiences. You know, for a little boy who wanted to experience everything, I've had so many experiences that I never dreamed would even be possible, because I grew up in a modest home with very little income in a little town of Montana. I mean, it doesn't make connect the dots doesn't make sense from that vantage point. But from this vantage point, it's that that freedom, that unearned favor, right? This the grace and love and opportunities that I've received, that I know come from the Creator, that who loves me so much. Well, now I've received so much. I'm like overflowing with joy and gratitude and grace and love. And so I get to give. I don't give to get, because I don't need anything. I've received so much. I received more than I can contain. So now I get to give. And in the giving, yes, it will come back to me inevitably. That's the law. It works that way. But that's not my motivation. My motivation is I get to give. I get to bless people. I get to share my journey. I get to talk about how wonderful life can be, not because it's pain-free, but because there's purpose to it and meaning, and I see things in a much clearer way. That's a privilege, right? That's an honor. That's a pleasure. So it just comes pouring out of me. I get to give. I don't give to get. And that's where we are.
And that is so, I'm so glad that you said that, because what I discuss with people all the time is in my profession. You know, people will say to me, well, I did this, this, and this for this person, and they didn't even say thank you. And I will say, did they ask you to do it? They ask you to do it, or you just did it because you wanted to give them something, or you wanted to help them, or you wanted to have, you know what I'm saying? Okay. And they, well, no, I mean, I did it because I wanted to. Then why do you have an outcome attached to it? If we give out of love, out of just the sheer desire to make somebody else's life a better space, then why would you be upset if they didn't say thank you, or if they didn't give you something in return? Or, you know, that's how it is. You can start to monitor yourself of, am I giving because I feel like that's how I will find value in myself, or by their response? Or are you truly giving because your heart is saying to you, this is who I want to be? Right. That's the difference between, because for many, many years before I ever had my own self-love, I did everything for everybody. And let me tell you, if somebody did not acknowledge it, it would break my heart and I would have a meltdown and blah, 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 blah. Because I was giving to try and find my value.
Yeah.
Instead of realizing my value is already there. Right. And the giving is just, that's the cherry on top. I don't need it. I don't need to have the grace. The miracles come from giving with no desire to receive.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So true.
Let me change that. I want to change that word desire, because I think we always desire to have that love brought back, but with no need to have anything in return, because that implies that we're not being provided everything that we need. And I am. Everyone is. It's just shifting that perception to know that.
Absolutely. 100%. Love it. Love it. Love it.
So I know that you were on a time schedule, and you were kind enough to give up your lunch for us. Thank you so, so much. You are such a fantastic human being, and I'm so very grateful for you. And truly, honestly, you know how fab you started, which was Laura and I speaking with Ryan Allen. So that was kind of a foregone conclusion. But you were the first person that we asked.
Wow.
The very first.
That's so awesome. Thank you.
Because, well, you can thank me all you want, but I'm just pretty face in a voice, man. God does all the heavy lifting. He takes care of all of that. And, you know, we're so fortunate to have Ryan Allen coming over from the UK. And he is such a blessing in my life, just like you are, and Laura, and all of the people who are a part of FabU, you know, are just a blessing to me. I personally went through a big growth over the last few months, and you helped me in a lot of ways to step out of my human and stop wallowing in the human and stepping into who I'm supposed to be, who I choose to be, who I agreed with God I would be.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm very fortunate to have those people around me.
Me too. You know, one of the things you're tapping on here, two things before I have to go. And one is that none of us are on this journey alone. And in fact, the more that I isolate myself, the more kind of lost I get in my own craziness. And so being connected not only to God, which is profoundly, I mean, it's words I can't explain, but also this absolute certainty that we are designed for connections with each other, that we, as you have said, even at FabU, we give permission to others to bubble up in this stew called humanity and show themselves and be themselves and become themselves. As we do it, as we take the courage, which we didn't get on our own, right? Through the relationships, just like you talked about, through the relationships and conversations that we have with people who can serve as a mentor or as a guide or as an inspiration that keeps us from getting lost in our own little circle of knowledge and expanding that into seeing that life is so much greater, so much bigger, so much or to an experience than I can talk myself into or out of in any given moment. And I just love that this profound sense of connection, both to the one who created me, but that's he, she, they, however you describe God, invites and encourages and provokes at times this loving connection with others that, you know, sometimes I'm the guy on the mat that needs somebody to carry me. And sometimes I'm the stretcher bearer and my faith gets to carry somebody else. And we do that for each other. And that's how together we encourage one another onto love and good deeds and becoming, right? All that each one of us were created to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're just so blessed to all of us are so blessed to be a part of FabU. And because in all actuality, God is God's event. He's picking who's speaking. You know, he switches things up on a regular basis on me. Right. And says, flow with it, you know? And yeah. and if I get all cranky about anything, he'll say, this isn't your event, it's mine. And I'd say, oh, that's right, I forgot, I'm so sorry. Well, Joe, thank you so much just for everything that you do. Thank you for taking your time today. I'm so, so very grateful for you and for all that you do. And tomorrow I'll be speaking with Kristen Brown. And on Wednesday, I'll be doing an interview with Ryan Allen. And then we'll have a surprise interview on Thursday.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So yeah, we're all excited.
Seriously. Yeah. I just, you know, I have a hard time being anywhere else than doing this because it's so fulfilling, so life-affirming. I feel very connected to you. I'm so grateful that God arranged for our lives to intersect, and now we get to work together to fulfill something greater than any one of us. And that's one of the beauties of life. That's one of the best things ever.
Yeah, I concur. Well, thank you, brother. I love you very much, and I'm so grateful for you.
Ditto, 100%.
All right, brother, you have a good rest of your day.
I will if you will.
So if you don't follow Mojo, I highly suggest you do. He always has such amazing insight just to life itself. He has helped me tremendously. I would say all of the speakers of FabU have helped me tremendously. Just this morning on my way to work, I was speaking to Ryan Allen. We were video chatting because he's in the UK. And just having that kinship and that conversation with somebody who sees the world the way I do is just a blessing. And I'm just so very grateful for everything that's just falling into place. Just everything is just falling into place, and it's beautiful and staying in the flow.
Yeah. Yeah, what you said, for sure. Sometimes it feels like things are falling apart, but the truth is, from a different perspective, it's all falling into place. We just get to be part of that beautiful kaleidoscope of motion, time, and space.
You know what? I just literally just came into my head. I know it's not mine because I'm, you know, not the sharpest tool in the shed sometimes, but it's because I get too stuck in my human. But what I literally heard when you were saying that was, sometimes, my child, when you build something, sometimes you don't get it right the first time, and it has to be dismantled so I can help you rebuild it again.
Mm, yeah.
The right way. And as soon as he said that, I went, oh, hello.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, love it. Living is learning, is loving, is living, is learning, is loving, and on we go.
And will you give us your allow, because you're speaking on allow. Will you give us your allow acronym before you leave?
Absolutely. So allow, this came to me as I was contemplating this opportunity. Allow, always let love overcome worry. Always let love overcome worry. And as I said in my little promo video, easier said than done. But I look forward to digging into how does that work? How do we become more and more willing and able to allow life to unfold, to flow, as you said, to flow with it rather than always trying to swim upstream?
Right. Fighting the current instead of flowing with the current.
Which gets pretty exhausting, I got to tell you.
Let me tell you, I had to go up into the mountains for 3 days just to recharge, and it was perfect.
Yeah, awesome.
It was
perfect. So talk about divine synchronicity. You're up in the mountains recharging, and the topic that I was up by Wisdom Talk was, how do you reset, recharge, renew yourself? You were doing it while I was talking about it. That's awesome.
There you go. Yeah, when I got home, my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's 21, she was in the kitchen and I walked in because I had gone by myself, you know, and I walked in and she looked at me and she goes, "There's my mom." And I was like, "What?" I said, "You knew I was coming back today." And she said, "I had hoped you would." And I was like, "You thought I wouldn't come back?" She said, "No, it's not that I knew eventually you would. I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about my mom."
Yeah, there you are.
And she said, "When you walked through the door, there was that light that I grew up with, that light in your eyes, that light around you." She said, "Fantastic. You walked in and the vibration just raised in the house." And I was like, "I hear you. I hear you."
So good.
Finding self is very, very important.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Tina, so much for our friendship, for all that we've been able to experience so far. And I just have nothing but joyful anticipation for what's to come.
Me too. Me too. That and our Christmas summer camp.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right, brother. You have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for being on here.
All right. Bless you, my friend.
All right, sweetie. Bye. So if anybody would like to come up, I'm going to leave it open for just a little bit. If you have any questions about Fabio or just have any comments or anything that you would like to, or questions that you want to ask in general, please feel free. If you would like to help us make Fabio a reality, we have a GoFundMe. It is just under Fab U, Raising the Vibration of Humankind. You can also go to my profile here on Wisdom, and it is, the link is actually in my profile description. And we're just so, so very excited about the whole thing and just about changing. Changing is not the right word. Allowing. I'm going to have to use allow because that's Mojo's topic, is allowing, allowing people to find themselves, become who they choose to be with no fear, no judgment, just a space where people can forgive themselves, allow what the universe, is wanting to give, and just become themselves, because you're exactly perfect, exactly as you are. And we're always growing. We're always making things better. We're always hoping to become more, to be a better version of ourselves. And sometimes we lose that. I know that for myself personally, over the last few months, I kind of lost that of, I felt so much societal pressure that I had stopped being my true authentic me and that strength of me. And, you know, sometimes people will tell you, they'll say, you know, dim your light's too bright. It makes me uncomfortable. Your light's too bright. It makes me have to put my sunglasses on or look away or whatever. And I started to feed into that of wanting so much to be, quote, normal, like everyone else, right? Which is truly, honestly, that's what I've always, like my whole life, I just wanted to be normal, like other people, instead of embracing the fact that I'm not like other people. I am different. It doesn't make me better by any means. I'm just different. No human is more valuable, more valid than another. But like Mojo said, we're all on our own journey. We're all different. And we can find those commonalities with other people and forge bonds and loves and relationships. And that's beautiful. But the one we have with ourselves is so vital. It is so vital. And that's what Fabio is about. Forgiving you, allowing you, and becoming you. Finding that space of self-love. Finding that space of a higher vibration, a choice to not allow people to dim your light, because they aren't actually. You're just allowing it. It's, we can't give our free will, but we surrender it every day. And Laura and I both have come to a space of we choose not to, because we're able to help more people when we stand our ground and stand in who we are. So thank you, everyone who has come through here today. We're so grateful for you, each and every one of you. Please remember, you are loved exactly as you are. And you are valid exactly as you are. Peace.
If you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover, or you have a question, please feel free to contact us via email at whosaidyouhaveto@gmail.com. If you would like to know more about Free Will Healing, Tina or me, visit our website at www.freewillhealing.com.
And also, please check the show notes for all of our Who Said You Have To social media links on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can follow or subscribe to get updates for any upcoming events or personal appearances near you.
We encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?